Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us, therefore let us keep the feast. Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let the whole earth stand in awe of him. Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to Christ Church Cathedral. We want to say a special word of welcome to those who are joining us on the live stream. John Lowndes is on video this evening, so feel free to leave a note in the chat. Let us know that you're there. Also, if you're listening in by way of the Cathedral audio podcast, we welcome you as well. And if you're visiting with us in person, welcome. We're glad you're here. Will you be seated for a moment, please? I'll just mention a couple of things by way of announcement. Cindy Pope this weekend sent a message along to ask our prayers for her mother, Barb Gauthier, who has fallen and broken a hip this past week and is in need of our prayers. So I assured Cindy that we would remember her. Also this past week, and you've probably seen this already, but we regretfully received the resignation of our sexton, Ashley Swim. Ashley will be finished with us on the 17th of May. And we wish him well in his endeavors to come, but we are very sorry to lose Ashley. Yeah. It'll be very difficult to find another Ashley. So we do wish him well, though. Also, this past week, Bishop and Chapter met, and we appointed a treasurer for the cathedral in the person of Catherine MacDonald. So, Catherine, thank you for agreeing to take that on for us. And, and Catherine will begin on the 1st of May, as Jamie ends on the 30th of April. And we're most appreciative to both of those individuals. If you happen to have been with us for a while, or not so long, and you aren't aware that your name is on our congregational list, or if you happen to know someone who might be in that position, just make note that there is a form at the back of the church to make that possible, or it's possible to contact the cathedral office or leave a note on the offering plate, and we'll get back in touch with you. We'd be happy to include you among our number. And I've been asking a week or two about possibilities of those who would be willing to commit to reading the daily office Monday to Friday. Mondays at 8:45 and 4:45 in the afternoon. We've had a sign-up for the offices for the last several years, and it's worked pretty well. We'd need an individual to commit to one or more of those per week, and there is information about how that goes together and how it's done. It takes about 15 minutes. It's not an onerous commitment, but one that is quite meaningful and important as we uphold those among us in prayer and remember our church in prayer. And so if that's something that you might be interested in, you could mention that to me, and I'd be happy to make the connections for you. You're also welcome to speak with Harry Palmer or with Catherine MacDonald, who is technically still chairing the worship committee. That may change, but
that will change,
she says. But she'd also be happy to speak with you about that. And like I say, we can get you whatever information, training, instruction that you need for that. And is there anything else that needs mentioning? We're thankful for our cathedral choir this evening, as usual, and to Thomas for being at the keyboard. It's great to be able to offer this ministry of evensong. The service this evening is from the maroon-colored Book of Common Prayer, and it continues now with evening prayer and the exhortation, page 18, page number 18. Dearly beloved, the Scripture moveth us in sundry places to acknowledge and confess our manifold sins and wickedness, and that we should not dissemble nor cloak them before the face of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, but confess them with an humble, lowly, penitent, and obedient heart, to the end that we may obtain forgiveness of the same by His infinite goodness and mercy. And although we ought at all times humbly to acknowledge our sins before God, yet ought we most chiefly so to do, when we assemble and meet together to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hands, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His most holy word, and to ask those things which are requisite and necessary as well for the body as the soul. Wherefore, I pray and beseech you, as many as are here present, to accompany me with a pure heart and humble voice unto the throne of the heavenly grace. And we say together, Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who desireth not the death of a sinner, but rather that he may turn from his wickedness and live, hath given power and commandment to his ministers to declare and pronounce to his people, being penitent, the absolution and remission of their sins. He pardoneth and absolveth all them that truly repent and unfeignedly believe his holy gospel. Wherefore we beseech him to grant us true repentance and his Holy Spirit, that those things may please him which we do at this present, and that the rest of our life hereafter may be pure and holy, so that at the last we may come to his eternal joy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
O Lord, open thou our lips,
and our mouths shall show forth thy praise.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world.
praise ye the Lord.
The Lord's name be praised.
As we stand, the Psalms are number 8 and 84, Psalm 8 on page 337. Page 337.
That I might still.
The first lesson is from the Wisdom of Solomon, the 7th chapter, beginning at the 22nd verse. For wisdom, the fashioner of all things, taught me. There is in her a spirit that is intelligent, holy, unique, manifold, subtle, mobile, clear, unpolluted, distinct, invulnerable, loving the good, keen, irresistible, beneficent, humane, steadfast, sure, free from anxiety, all-powerful, overseeing all, and penetrating through all spirits that are intelligent, pure, and altogether subtle. For wisdom is more mobile than any motion. Because of her pureness, she pervades and penetrates all things. For she is a breath of the power of God, and a pure emanation of the glory of the Almighty. Therefore, nothing defiled gains entrance into her. For she is a reflection of eternal light, a spotless mirror of the working of God, and an image of His goodness. Although she is but one, she can do all things, and while remaining in herself, she renews all things. In every generation, she passes into holy souls and makes them friends of God and prophets. For God loves nothing so much as the person who lives with wisdom. She is more beautiful than the sun and excels every constellation of the stars. Compared with the light, she is found to be superior, for it is succeeded by the night, but against wisdom, evil does not prevail. She reaches mightily from one end of the earth to the other, and she orders all things well. Here endeth the lesson.
Spirit of His light, in God.
The second lesson is taken from the fourth chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, beginning at the 16th verse. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel at the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. Here endeth the lesson.
Thank you.
The Apostles' Creed is on page 22. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with my spirit.
Let us pray.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. From the fear of our enemies,
may pass our time in rest and quietness through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
Lighten our darkness, we beseech thee, O Lord, and by thy great mercy defend us from all perils and dangers of this night. For the love of thy only Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news." In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The Book of Wisdom, or the Wisdom of Solomon, serves as a good example in Jewish thought of the notion of the personification of wisdom. Wisdom is a book of the Apocrypha. Apocryphal literature is not part of the Hebrew writing of the Old Testament and is sometimes referred to as intertestamental. That is, these books were written in the time between the Hebrew and the Greek scriptures. Wisdom was originally penned in Greek rather than Hebrew. And the church has, since early times, recognized the value of reading from the Apocrypha. Now, before any of you who may think of yourselves as Protestant get your knickers too much in a knot, you will be pleased to know that the 39 articles, which is probably as Protestant a document as you're going to find out of that period of church history, states fairly clearly that the church doth read the other books for example of life and instruction of manners, but yet not apply them to establish any doctrine. I'm often asked by people what they should buy for a Bible, and I usually tell them that if you're in an Anglican church, a Bible without an Apocrypha is of fairly little use. So what is the relationship between wisdom and God? Not just from those apocryphal writings, but from the rest of apocryphal writings, but from the rest of Scripture as well. Well, we might first realize, as it's being spoken of in wisdom, that when personified, wisdom takes on a feminine gender. For wisdom is more mobile than any motion. Because of her pureness, she pervades and penetrates all things. For she is a breath of the power of God and a pure emanation of the glory of the Almighty. Wisdom reflects the glory of God. Through the centuries, there has been a close association between wisdom and the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit also is often associated with the female gender, the Greek word for spirit, pneuma, being also a feminine noun. Pneuma is understood and translated from the Greek as breath, wind, motion, or life. Spirit in Greek brings with it notions of leading, moving, and purification. That should begin to explain how some of the nuances of the term used for the Spirit of God become vivid descriptions of the personhood of God, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. If there's a connection between the first and second readings tonight, I might suggest that it has to do with the Spirit. In the synagogue, in his hometown, Jesus stood, as was the custom, and opened the scroll to read. He found the place where it was written, Luke says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news. Rolling up the scroll, he gave it to the attendant and sat down. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing, he said. And Luke tells us that all spoke well of him. But it didn't last long. Jesus' sermon that day started out all well and good. He had them eating out of the palm of his hand, so to speak. Things went downhill from there, as sermons sometimes can. As he explained that their concern about him having grown up in their midst being a barrier to his teaching was to be expected. That in their own religious history, when faith waned, God did no good among those with hardened hearts. All in the synagogue were filled with rage, Luke goes on to say. They tried to throw him off the cliff. Jesus passed through them and went on his way. On his way to proclaim good news to the poor. On his way to preach release to the captives and freedom for the oppressed. On his way to heal the sick. On his way to restore sight to the blind. His claim was that he did this because the Spirit of God was upon him. The power, the movement, the breath, the life of God was working through him. The wisdom of the ages was being fulfilled in him. The creation once made good, very good, yet tainted and fallen under the influence of the Spirit of God, Jesus, the exact imprint of God. Divine wisdom at work, bringing justice and healing, putting right the wrongs of fallen creation. And they were enraged, Luke says. And interestingly enough, sometimes we are too, when miracles arise in our midst. Who does he think he is? No prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But wisdom, she reaches mightily from one end of the earth to the other, and she orders all things well. As we kneel, let us pray. Our prayers are offered this day as we name those for whom we have been asked to pray. In the Anglican cycle of prayer, the Church of Bangladesh and Samuel, their Archbishop and moderator. In provincial prayers, we're praying for Nigel, Bishop Ordinary to the Canadian Armed Forces and all military chaplains. Pray for the Archbishop of Canterbury, Charles, our King, and all the royal family, especially those experiencing illness. Pray for Linda, our primate, Matthias, Bishop of Hull, and David, our bishop and metropolitan. Let us pray for ministries in this cathedral church and everywhere throughout the Church of God. O God, who by thy grace hath called us to a good and godly fellowship of faith, we beseech thee to bless, guide, and direct our bishops, clergy, and all our people. Grant that thy word may be truly preached and truly heard, thy sacraments faithfully administered and faithfully received. By thy Spirit, fashion our lives according to the example of thy Son, and grant that we may show the power of thy love to all among whom we live, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Pray for those who lead and inform public opinion. Almighty God, whose truth endureth from age to age, direct in our time, we beseech thee, those who speak where many listen, and write what many read, that they may speak thy truth to make the heart of this people wise, its mind discerning, and its will righteous, to the honor of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for the world and for concrete efforts to preserve this earth, our island home, the environment, and to be good and better stewards of the gifts of creation. O merciful Creator, whose hand is open wide to satisfy the needs of every living creature, make us, we beseech thee, ever thankful for thy loving providence, and grant that we, remembering the account that we must one day give, may be faithful stewards of thy bounty. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the unity of the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. And let us pray for those who are in trouble or need, those who pray for peace. Let us remember those who have experienced harsh weather, especially those in Nebraska. And let us pray for those who call our enemies, for those who we call our enemies, and for all who find themselves in conflict and war. O Savior of the world, our Redeemer, whose love embraces all humankind, we hear thy prayer from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive, O Lord, those who have poured out innocent blood and caused suffering in the world. May our prayers be for them a ministry of reconciliation. We ask it in thine own name. Amen. As we remember individuals who struggle with issues of health and well-being, we pray for healing of body, mind, and spirit for those who are sick and those who are dying. Pray for those who are listed in our cathedral prayers, remembering also Barb Gauthier, others who we may wish to name. And we remember those whom we have forgotten. O Heavenly Father, who art the sustainer of our life and source of our hope, comfort and relieve all who suffer. Give thy grace unto all who minister to their needs, that they may be strengthened in their weakness and have confidence in thy loving care. Through him who knoweth our weakness and hath shared our sorrows, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, who hast given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplications unto thee, and dost promise that when two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt grant their requests. Fulfill now, O Lord, the desires and petitions of thy servants as may be most expedient for them, granting us in this world knowledge of thy truth, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen.